101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Louis R. Abalone in for Aaron. In studio, Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us. First of all, good morning. Thanks for coming out here to East Texas, all the way from Bossier.
East Texas.
That's how I feel when I'm driving out here. I said, we're halfway to Texas from out here.
It's not too far away.
No, it's not too bad.
No, I appreciate you inviting me, Mike, to come by and seeing Louis. I hadn't seen Louis in a little while, but me and Louis go back a good ways. His dad was a dear friend of mine, too. So,
well, yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was a couple weeks ago, my son was in town. We went to a concert. We went to go see Billy Bob Thornton at Margaritaville, and it was so much fun. We had a great time. But we got down there a little early, and we said, let's go get something to eat. And we walked around the boardwalk. Tommy, it's sad.
Well, you know what we're doing right now? I didn't know if you went into the parking garage, but...
I didn't. No, we did not.
A week or two ago, the city owns the parking garage and all the streets going through the boardwalk. And we have power washed that whole entire bottom floor, walls, floor, and they should be striping it here if they didn't start already this week. Striping it and getting ready and starting to clean up the area. They're gonna put some more signs up. We're gonna put a big Bossier police sign up where the police. We're getting ready for. There's going to be a big
now,
boom.
Is the police little substation still in the parking garage?
Yes,
there?
Sir. And we're gonna paint that whole wall. Put a seal of Bossier City.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
On there. Let them know that we're there.
It's down by the theater end.
Yes,
right,
it's on
there.
The north side of the parking garage. Right there in that little breezeway where you walk from the parking garage out into, you know how they had like that cobblestone kind of stone walking area? That's being putting in a whole new concrete to keep people from twisting their ankles and more secure. We're updating. We're going to paint that entrance. There's a lot of things. We're getting ready for the big boom that's going to happen down there.
Now that's what I want to hear, because there's a lot of vacant spaces. Have you've met with the owner?
Yes, sir.
The current owner.
Yes, sir.
And are they looking to sell? Are they what's the latest with that and getting more retail into the boardwalk?
They're not wanting to sell. There's a lot of things coming back and is going to happen. I talked with them yesterday. Just like other times, you kind of sign a paper where you can't say nothing. I'm sorry to say I can't say anything, but there's...
But just the fact that there is something happening.
Oh, and it's the momentum is...
It's lit up.
He has used the word boom twice now. Yeah. He said there's a big boom coming.
Yes, yes.
All right, so if you can't talk about the specifics, what do you attribute to this big boom that is coming? Why now? Because, of course, the boardwalk has been vacant for some time.
You know, really one guy that's really done a whole lot down there is Justin Hagler with Simple Church. And he is really, he's put a lot of things together down there to work. And just the city is, they're doing our due diligence. We got these people coming in, looking at the place. We don't want to tell them, say, hey, we're going to clean this up. We're going to paint this. We're doing that already, so when they come, they know that we're welcoming them. We want them there.
Mm-hmm.
The pickleball thing, it could possibly open up in a couple of months. Chris Phillips has really got a good deal going on that with a Drew Brees signed signature name on it. That's going to be good. There's going to be a restaurant in the pickleball too that's coming. I feel sorry. I come on the radio and I say, I got stuff coming, but I can't tell you. It's like I'm lying to you. But there, when it happens, y'all go, oh my goodness, because we're getting it already cleaned up and fixed up to where they can just start moving in.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes, yeah, sir. No, absolutely.
Can't wait to hear what it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
Ruben, turn our mics off for just a minute. It's just us now.
Mike, you're a dear friend, but I can't tell you.
Well, you obviously would not be investing taxpayer dollars into upgrading or otherwise renovating city property without knowing there's going to be some return on that investment.
Definitely. Definitely. I don't want to waste the taxpayers' money at all. But we want to, you know, invest in something that's going to be great for Bossier City, which that's going to be. And when y'all can hear it all go on, it's going to be great. You know, Chasing Aces is doing well. Mm-hmm. And it's going to just go from Chasing Aces all the way up on around. It's going to be awesome.
Well, that's exciting.
East Bank is doing good. You know, Bo and them are doing great. I'm very blessed that all this is happening during, you know, my terms, and I just want to make it happen more, you know, faster and correctly, and so it'll last.
You know, I was asking you off air about the job of being mayor of Bossier City, because for all intents and purposes, you're not a politician. You're a businessman. You have been a businessman your entire life, an entrepreneur. How has that prepared you for being mayor?
Well, you know, I learned a whole lot from my dad. You know, my old man was, you know, he talked his mind, and he, you know, had these words that I can't say on here, but I mean, he would, but he something would happen and just out of the blue, he'd kind of tell you. So in my family and businesses that my family had, all the different businesses and stuff, it is just a really, just learning all that stuff I learned during the business and just putting that into the city, and there's just a bigger volume of employees and different items. You know, you got problems each and every day from different departments, which I love to hear from them and work it out with them and stuff like that. Being an owner of a business, everything comes down to you every time too. So it's kind of the same, to tell you the truth.
Well, and one thing that I think Trump learned from his in going into his second is the people you surround yourself with is vitally important.
Man, I tell you what, all my department heads, they are awesome. They make me look good, and it makes the city look good. Amanda Nottingham, man, she is a godsend. I mean, she is awesome.
She's your CAO?
She's my CAO, yes, sir. Sure is. And she does a great job every day. Lewis, my PIO, he's good too. And my secretary, all of my department heads, they all really do a great job. And what is good is they work together. One department said, I'm not going to help this department because I'm going to be better. And it's all works together. And, you know, Parks and Rec with Mary Ward, even all that's great too. She works, she's got a lot of things going on there too. So I have some great department heads right now.
Population wise, of course, Bossier Parish, Bossier City has been growing for some time now. Are you seeing that continue? What is that trend like currently?
I think it's great. I mean, we're trying to start widening some roads, and that carriageway has helped out dramatically. People going from north to south or south to north or coming over to Shreveport. They said it cuts their time down going over the carriageway bridge. We are kind of doing some studies right now too to maybe annex a little bit more up north, and done the studies on that, and that's almost completed already too. So we already supply the water and sewage up there, so you know it's kind of in between, you know, where Benton and Bossier end.
So are you expecting the same level of growth that we've seen over the past few years, or are you expecting things plateauing?
I believe there's going to be even more growth myself. There's some few things coming in that's going to make that happen.
And more of that boom you were talking about.
That's going to be another big boom. But there's got a boom and it got a big boom.
Now,
I'm not very good at telling, you know, secrets and stuff. So
You're kind of in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler in studio. Lewis is in for Aaron. Can you hold with us through the break? We got to take a quick break.
I would love to, yes, sir.
And we'll be back. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler in studio. Mike and McCarty, Lewis in for Aaron. We talked, I think, last time about Mombosier. Currently, it is not, but at one point, if I'm remembering correctly, you said you wouldn't be opposed to having an element back in Bossier. Is that right?
It depends on where it be. I mean, I don't mind it going down the parkway from like Brooks's Grocery Arena, but going in and out of...
Going down airline was just a nightmare.
Yes,
logistically. I was with the police department in those days, and it was a nightmare.
Yes, sir. The businesses and houses that are up and down there would be kind of tough. But they have it on the parkway. There's, I mean, people have room to park, and it'd be easier to clean up and stuff, too, if we go that route.
Now, a little earlier, we were talking about the boardwalk, and you said you had some other points.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, I mean, you're looking at... Marriott has already added 50 more rooms, and that's another $5 million. So the Marriott is adding on to the boardwalk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they got another 50 rooms. Regal come in. The guys from Regal, the movie theater, come in a few weeks ago, and we're talking about this boom that's going to happen at the boardwalk, and there's going to be some real good things happen with that also.
With Regal Cinemas?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, right there in the boardwalk. There's a lot of things like that happening. There's going to be some people come back, people, new people. And
okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of restaurants, and I might not want to go on something I can talk about.
Well, would you be comfortable sharing the paint specifications for your water towers in Bossier City, because they're absolutely beautiful. And of course, there's been some, you know, controversy in Shreveport about our water towers, which are beautiful as well. But there's some folks that they're not as, I don't know, as bright or as pristine as they ought to be.
Yeah, sir. If you look on the paint cans that the guys used on our... It said good paint.
Good paint.
So, you know.
Made in America.
Yeah. No.
Won't run.
We were very blessed. The guys, they power washed and did a lot of cleaning up of the towers and stuff like that. They had they used a real good sub paint for the paint to go over and stuff. So we're very blessed that all the towers, I mean, it wasn't cheap to do, but you know what? It keeps the tanks from rusting out. And
well, that
costs a lot of money down the road.
That one right there on Airline next to the wine gardens, that's beautiful.
Well, and it honors the men and women of Barksdale and all those who serve our country.
Yes, sir, it does. And, you know, the one on Airline and Barksdale and the one out, it really does great, too. So
people are going, wine gardens? You remember wine gardens?
Yeah. That's what you're talking about.
Ellis Home and Garden is what's there now.
Yes.
But, Mayor, thank you so much. Appreciate you driving out.
I don't tell people I'm looking for a fire chief or anything.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah. You've been interviewing lots of candidates.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, it's a
Brad's
hard...
retiring.
Brad, man, he's a dear friend and great guy to work with. He's been there 15 or 16 years, and he's wanting to retire, and I know he... It's that time, but I have a very, very hard pick right now. I have a lot of good applicants right now that I have one more interview today. I've had a bunch of them the past couple of weeks when I had time, and I'm looking forward to getting our new chief and going in. And
when do you expect to have a new chief sworn in?
Hopefully by the first of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a name of someone that you're leaning towards? It's just us in the room talking right now. Just any specific name?
Avalone. Avalone.
I feel like a firefighter some days, but certainly not qualified.
Also, could I talk about, James Burton has something at the Horseshoe coming up where he's, instead of giving the guitars to Caddo students.
I tell you what. Hold on. We got to do news at the bottom of the hour.
I apologize.
And if you can stay with us.
Oh yes, sir.
Because I do want to talk about that. Okay. That's a great program.
Good.
Mayor Tommy Chandler in with Mike and McCarty, Lewis Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler in studio. Find out what he's got to say coming up more just after the break. Louis Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler in studio. Louis Avalone in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty. There's a cool fundraiser. It's a fundraiser coming up with James Burton and, my gosh, Emmylou Harris.
Yes, sir. And Marty Haggard.
Well, that's right, Marty Haggard.
Marty Haggard. And
it's for Bossier Schools.
Yes, sir.
Music program.
Students in the school at Bossier Parish. And each ticket will buy a guitar for a student. So it's going to be in the Horseshoe Dome, and it's going to be on the 7th of November, a Friday. And it's a good deal. I mean, it's all the proceeds go to James Burton, and which will go to the guitars.
And he did this. He did this a few years ago at Municipal.
Yes, sir. He's done
the same thing for, I think, Kettle Parish.
Yes, sir. He's done it a few times. So this is the first time over in Barstow. Him and his wife, Louise, we've been talking off and on for a few weeks.
So how's he doing? I get varying reports sometimes.
He's doing well. He's doing well. He'll be there.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And
good.
He's doing well. Yes. And when I talked to Louise yesterday, she said he's doing great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We had a list on.
We talked about the fire chief.
Yes, sir. The fire chief.
Interview.
Yeah, interviews on fire chief. I got one more today, and that's going to go good. Today I do the BPSC has a trunk and treat thing that I have to judge at BPSC. I guess it'll be all in the parking lot out there this afternoon. I have a prayer lunch today, and then after that I'll go and see all my new fire recruits. There's 8 new fire recruits that'll get us up to our number at 206 on firemen. And I get to kind of wish them good luck and all that when they
go. Now, the prayer luncheon, you do that every month, right?
Yes, sir.
And is that open to the public? How does that work?
Basically, yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
And I'm very blessed that there's more than 10 people.
Need to reserve. People need to lunch is provided.
Yes, sir. And so they'll know how many people to cook for. And I'm very have some good, great speakers. One time, it was like the day before, and I got this call from this guy named Mike Johnson, and he goes, "Hey, Tommy, I'm going to be in town. I want to come to your prayer lunch." And I said, "Mike, I'm kind of busy right now. I need to call you back." You know, but Mike came in. It was good to see him there.
Sure.
There's a few other, good. It's always a good speaker.
And kind of exciting, some exciting news for Bossier City. You guys, a new arena football team.
Yes, sir. Rougarous. Yes, sir.
Louisiana Rougarous.
Yeah, they're starting in February. That's going to be great. They have 7 home games, and that's going to be awesome. I met the owner and some of the players. Them big old boys.
Players.
Yeah, they're some big old boys, and I think it's going to be in the Brookshire Grocer Arena, which it'll hold plenty of people for them.
Police staffing. We talked one time. You said you guys is the police department fully staffed or very close?
Yes, sir. We're still looking for a few good men, and I think we need some jailers.
Okay.
And I think we have a few that's on the communications dispatchers that are fixing to retire.
Okay.
So, but we're up. I talked to my chief yesterday about it, and we only got a few that we need, but we're always looking for new people.
And you've got a Bossier City fire class about to start.
Yes, sir. Like eight, they started yesterday. There's 8 new guys, 8 or 9 new guys, and they'll go through all that. And we just got 14 more that we had on the last class join, in which we're very blessed in our safety parts, the police and fire.
Mm-hmm. Now, you bring up Brookshire's grocery arena. Of course, I remember it when it was just the Bossier City Arena. Looking back, do you feel like that arena was built large enough? Or would you, you know, hindsight being 2020, would you have built it larger for a greater capacity? And I ask that question because there are certainly folks in Shreveport city government over the years who have thought about building a new arena that, you know, would update Hirsch Coliseum, which is, I guess, the largest venue that we have outside of Independence Stadium. But looking back, do you think that was it was built just right, or you feel like they made the right decision at the time?
I'm pretty sure, you know, Laney Wilson sold out, and that was over 11,000 tickets. And it's always good to be able to sell out. I think it's pretty well much that, and it's big enough. I would like to have one that's a little bit smaller, like 3,000 or 4,000 people for like
kind of like a
hockey,
municipal,
yeah, something for like some hockey, you know, high school and hockey teams and stuff like that, and volleyball and soccer. I'd like to have sports buildings is what I would like to have coming up. Not saying that we're not talking about it, but we are.
Is that part of that boom you were talking about? Do you want to break some news? The city of Bossier is going to build 3,000 to 4,000?
We're working on it at this time. Tinsley Ballpark is doing great. I'd like to have another clover leaf put up on it.
Did you catch that?
Sounds like there's something in the works.
Well, you know what? My job, I love my job. And, you know, night and day, I'm always thinking with my administration and the council, things that we can better Bossier with. And I'm very pleased that we have some things coming up. We've already done some things, and there's going to be even more things that we will do. I'm very blessed to be able to work with the people I work with.
So there's some there's a boom going on at the boardwalk. What's going to be happening there?
Don't go.
You can't talk about it.
Well, I mean,
thought I'd get it in.
Well, I mean, the pickleball is going to be coming down there. Pickler.
Now that's the Pickler.
Yes, the Pickler.
And that's the Drew Brees.
Yes, the Drew Brees.
Right.
Chris Phillips is doing that, and it's going to have a restaurant in it too, and it's going to have like 11 courts. For now, I think once he gets down there, he's going to have to expand. So it's going to be something good.
Very good. Yeah. Mayor, thank you.
Thank y'all, and I appreciate y'all having me on. I hope I didn't talk y'all's ears off today.
No, it's exciting. I'd love to hear positive news, and there's a lot of positive things going on in this entire area, quite frankly. A lot of things happening in Shreveport. Yeah.
Good people, and we thank you for the job. God bless you for the job that you do each and every day for our community.
Well, thank you. And I mean, like I said, I love my job, and I look forward to going to work every day.
And there's something to be said for that. No, truly, there's something to be said for that. A lot of people that don't. So we're blessed, those of us that do, appreciate getting up, going to work. Mayor, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Mayor Tommy Chandler in studio. Lewis in for Aaron. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Lewis R. Avalone, in for Aaron McCarty. Now, update, as Rush used to do. We got a message from Aaron yesterday. It's just great.
Oh, yeah.
She went to the doctor. She had a procedure, a little surgical procedure on... Was it last Wednesday? A week from today.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday, a week ago today, everything went well, but she now is cleared. She's going to be working from home starting tomorrow.
Very nice.
Which we know she's already been doing that.
Yeah.
Because we've heard from her.
Yeah.
No, she's been resting and comfortably, and so she's been obeying all doctor's orders.
Meanwhile, our texts are flooded.
Yeah.
You guys hear about this?
So we've been hearing from her, but she got clearance, apparently clear to drive now.
Wow.
So that's good.
That's a big deal after surgery. It really is.
Of course, she's got the Bentley, so
right.
Driving's not a big deal.
Heated massager seats and everything like that. She's fine.
It about drives itself.
Pretty much.
And then clear to come back later in the week, next week.
Perfect.
So
perfect.
Very good news for those that have been asking.
And then I'm going to take my vacation.
Are you serious?
I wish you could see Mike's face. No.
Ruben,
no.
I love you, man. I do not want to sit in that chair. I don't like being over there.
It's a tough chair to sit in sometimes.
Yes. Well, especially when you have to do that chair and this chair.
At the same time, yeah. Not good.
Not fun at all. Let's see. It's the downhill slide to the weekend. We're going to find out more about the weather. But coming up later this morning, we've got Representative Dennis Bamber Jr. going to be joining us. He had a really cool experience. He got to go to Israel, one of a contingent of representatives. There were actually five from every state that got to go to Israel upon Israel's invitation. And they visited the October 6th attack, 7th, sorry, October 7th. I get those two confused. And he's going to share with us details about that trip. Very exciting. I'm looking forward to talking with him about that. Missy Setters with the Independence Bowl later on this morning going to join us, giving us an update. And former Mayor Cedric Glover, Downtown Development Authority Director, also going to join us. We're going to get an update on the Red River District, 50 Cent's progress, the state building, all kinds of good stuff. Stay with us. Louis Avalone in for Aaron, Mike, and McCarty. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and be sure to download that free Keel app. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. By the way, Erin doing great. Got good news. Got a good report yesterday. She's been released to kind of work from home coming up. And so she'll be back hopefully toward the middle of next week. Louis Avalone graciously agreeing to come in and fill those great big. She does not wear high heel shoes.
Maybe you want to stay away from that.
She does not wear high heel shoes.
But thank you, Louis,
for coming in studio with us. I'm really looking forward to this. Dennis Bamber Jr., representative for Louisiana. You were part of a contingency of 250 lawmakers from across the country that got invited to Israel. Tell us about how this came about, and I want to know about this trip.
Well, beautiful things come of the air show at Barksdale Air Force Base. I met Barbara Joseph there, had a conversation with her, and next thing I know, I'm getting an email about there are 250 legislators from across the country going to Israel, and would I be interested in a trip? And that message came from the Israeli consulate. And so we kind of go down that path, and you know, a lot of things were happening in Israel at that point. And so
this is back in September before the peace agreement.
Before the peace agreement, yeah. But it was kind of a lull in what the action was going on over there and all that kind of stuff. So the biggest sales process I think I've had to do is selling my wife on the ability to get over to Israel during this time. And so we got on the phone with the Israeli consulate, and they said, hey, if we can protect Benjamin Netanyahu, I think we can probably protect Dennis Bamberg. And I said, well, that makes a lot of sense. And so my wife kind of heels in the ground, dug in, reluctantly said, man, you can't miss this trip. And so good. We decided to make it over there.
So tell us a little bit about the logistically. I mean, what happened? You got to visit the October 7th attack site?
Man, that was probably the most eye-opening part of the whole trip was we got to go do the Bible things and all that kind of stuff mm-hmm. with
the Holy Land,
Jerusalem, and that was really cool. But when you got to the October 7th grounds where these atrocities occurred, you realize, I think you start moving the needle as far as what would America do if they killed that many of our citizens? And I think the fight is over these college campuses of how could they be doing that? And I'm like, what do you think America would do, the U.S. would do if they killed I think somebody said it would be like killing 38,000 Americans in one day.
And these protests, that's why they're so offensive. These Free Palestine protests and these pro Hamas demonstrators.
It is, and I can't believe that's going on in our country.
I can't either.
And after you get over there and you get to these grounds where these happen, and you see and you talk to people that live in these kibbutz, that some of the ground zero stuff that happened, and they were fighting over doors with the fathers. I mean, look, every house that down there in the Gaza envelope, they had a bomb shelter, but they're not prepared for terrorists to come in and try to open the door, so they don't have locks on the doors, right? Wow. So now you hear stories of fathers that are holding the doors, and the terrorists, Hamas is pulling on the other side, and if they get it cracked open, they drop a grenade in there, and shrapnel's all over the room. We saw it. I mean, we saw it with our own eyes. We saw where they shot through the doors, shot through portalettes that were out there on these campgrounds at the Nova campgrounds, where they had basically a Woodstock type deal,
mm-hmm.
and everything was supposed to happen at sunrise, and it was not a sunrise that will be remembered for a long time.
Absolutely horrifying. What did you learn in Israel that you wish every American understood about Israel's fight for survival here?
I think I learned mostly that if Israel wanted Hamas and Gaza to be gone in 4 hours, it could happen.
Right. Yeah.
It could happen in a matter of moments. But they drop pamphlets before they go in, where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing. They gave us a deal that showed the amount of calories per person in that Gaza area of the food that they were dropping off. And so they were trying to do everything humanitarianly possible to tell people, this is about to happen. Here's plenty of food that people that need to try to survive in this area. It's unfortunate. But, you know, and the other thing that we got to visit with Netanyahu, and he basically said that everybody thinks all these families were in the Gaza Strip were just sitting in the corners hiding from everybody, but they were sitting over there with grenade launchers and M16s and all these kind of weaponry that they were trying to kill our soldiers. And so I think the changing of the thought process around what really is going on over there was kind of the most impactful to me as a legislator.
And that was the purpose of this, of bringing all these legislatures from across the country to Israel? What was the purpose of this envoy?
I don't know. That could have been the purpose. I think they just wanted to show us, I mean, because we looked at a lot of the cool parts of their economy and what they do with water conservation and all this. But I believe that might have been the pretense of getting us over there and letting us know really what to know about these events that maybe we didn't.
Do you think some of that may be because of the rise in anti-Semitism in our country, that they felt like it was necessary to have all of the legislators, I say all, most of the legislators in our country come over and see their side of the story?
I think so. I kind of liken it to, you know, Louisiana these days. I mean, sometimes we don't go tell our best story, and I think that's problematic for Louisiana. I mean, everybody probably knows that we're first in the worst things and worst in the first in the best things, and I think that's the montage you start hearing. But if you start changing the legislature that I serve in, I think we are trying to change the mentality and telling about the great things that are happening in Louisiana. I believe Israel's trying to do the same thing and trying to say, get the bad information out of the minds of the people in America.
Right.
Because you see it on college campuses these days. And I think there's a battle for these students on information. Maybe they should have taken some five people from every college campus across the country instead of five legislators. That might have been more impactful.
That's very interesting, kind of like the kibbutz. I mean, everybody growing up in Israel is required to serve in the military.
That's right. We saw a lot of very young people carrying machine guns over there, and that's just part of their service. And you can tell they have a pride in their country when it comes down to it. And so I might try to pass a bill on something like that in our area. So
we were also talking about the impact that Charlie Kirk's death has had on those young people. And I want to talk about that. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. Louis Avalone in for Aaron. Dennis Bamberg, representative in studio. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back with more Carty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Representative Dennis Bamberg in studio, Micah McCarty, Louis Avalone in for Aaron. Just going back to your recent trip to Israel, Louis, you made a great point about it. It's just, I think we're all probably fathers. I can't imagine trying to literally hold a door closed while terrorists are trying to yank the door open, and your family is behind you.
Yeah,
and you got to see.
You walk in the room and it's in every home in the, there's a bomb shelter in every home in the kibbutz because they had 10 seconds to respond to the alerts that go off. And so you can just imagine you're in there with your loved ones. That's it. I mean, it's you and your family.
Right.
Your neighbors are in theirs and you're in a all out battle against a terrorist over a door opening because they're prepared for bombs to go off. They're not prepared for people to come in and actually try to push the doors open so you don't have a lock on it. And, That'll leave a mark with you. You know, that's something that's very impactful, and you can see yourself in that situation and just try to understand how those people were feeling that day.
And for those just joining us, Representative Dennis Bamberg recently came back from Israel. A contingency of 250 legislators from across the country upon Israel's invitation. And you guys all took the same plane?
Same plane. We all got to JFK and then got on one airplane. And
I'm kind of surprised they let that happen. Because if something happened to that plane, that's a lot of representation gone.
That's right. We'd have to have a special election in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oh, God forbid.
Across the country. But now, speaking of legislation, special session begins tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tell us about what you'll be working on in this special session.
This kind of goes back to the, you know, one of the first votes we made was to change some congressional districting that actually had some South Shreveport being covered from a East Baton Rouge representative congressional representation. And I didn't vote for that when it came out last time. And so there's been some thought process to try to rectify that situation. It is in the hands of the Supreme Court now, as
right.
we sit today. They heard... I think the hearings on that were early this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just kind of going to go in, I believe. I mean, it's an open call, so we'll see what bills are run because we don't know that yet. But my understanding is we're just going to change some dates back to give us some time to respond to their deliberations and their whenever they come out and rule on that case, it'll give us some time to act appropriately and do what we need to do as a legislature.
Is there an expected timeline from the Supreme Court? Do we...
I don't know if there's a way to expect it.
Right.
I've heard some December timelines and different things like that, trying to clear it up before the end of the year. And that gives us the timeline that we're hoping for, that we can respond to what they do.
Okay. But that decision from the Supreme Court could come as late as June 30th, which is when the United States Supreme Court recesses. And I understand the call is an open call. And I think I saw where in that call it was stated that no maps will be redrawn. This is not what's going to happen here. But if it's an open call, isn't that still a possibility that the legislature could decide, you know what, we're not going to wait. Whatever the Supreme Court decides, we're going to redraw this because we believe this, as the state of Louisiana believes, that these maps are unconstitutional.
I believe it is a possibility. I do not think it's a probability. I don't think that there's any appetite at all to do that when we go in. I don't think there's a lot of people who don't want to put pressure on the Supreme Court like we're trying to work around what they're trying to get accomplished. However, I do believe that the timing gives us some options to do some things to clarify that map and maybe put it back where it was at for a season. It just gives us some options.
Dennis Bamberg, tell me you're going to go watch a bunch of military guys get new tattoos, right? Is, okay. Is that what this is? A tattoo ceremony?
Where did this story come from? That's all I want to know.
We're going to catch Lewis up to date here. My office is working with Bossier Parish Schools, the students at Bossier Parish and Bossier Parish Community College, to put on a Veterans Day program on November 7th at 10 a.m. It's called a tattoo ceremony. And so just for the public, this is, no one is getting a tattoo. We're not tattooing children in Bossier Parish.
Why is it called a tattoo ceremony?
There was, I guess in some place, they became, it was when they told the troops to come back, turn off the tap, it means for the troops to come back in. It was a do-dim tattoo is what they said. That means turn off the tap, and that told the soldiers to return to camp. And so that turned into do-dim tattoo, to just shorten it. We get to tattoo. And so it's basically a... we're going to have students sing. We're going to have drum lines. We're going to have...
Celebrating our military.
It's going to be a very special event, celebrating 250 years this year. So we're not doing it on Veterans Day. We're doing it the Friday before. So I think we're just going to try to kick off this celebration of the United States out at Bossier Parish Community College at 10 o'clock. It's open to the public. And
November 7th.
It is a very special... special environment. You'll cry, you'll laugh, you'll hit every emotion with this project. And it's, we did it many years at Parkway High School, and so I've tried to move this where the community could have a role in this, and working with Bossier Parish Schools, Bossier Parish Community College, Colonel Haddon, and
that's all.
Colonel Haddon? Yeah, no. Colonel Haddon. He worked at Parkway High School for many years, and kind of brought this idea into that school, and I just want the public to be able to see what happens. It's a really, really special
to be my next door neighbor. Thank you for coming out.
You bet.
We appreciate your time.
Thank y'all for having me.
We're going to have this. We're going to do this more often.
Sounds fair.
All right. Lewis Avalone in for Aaron. Representative Dennis Bamberg Jr. Mike and McCarty coming up, by the way. Independence Bowl update with Independence Bowl Director Missy Setters. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Independence Bowl Director Missy Setters giving us an update coming up just after the break. Lewis Avalone in for Aaron. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, our good friend Missy Setters joining us from the Independence Bowl, the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Missy, good morning.
Very good. Thank you. Doing well this morning. How are y'all?
Well, we're doing great. What a beautiful morning. It's looking forward to a great lineup again this year. How many years is one of the, this is one of the longest running bowl games in the country now?
Yes, we're the 11th oldest bowl game.
1976 was the very first one.
Yes, it was. This is our 49th year this year for the game, and next year will be our 50th anniversary. We'll be celebrating that with the Rebel, too. It'll be their 50th.
Congratulations. Great news. So, any updates? What can you tell us? What are we looking at?
You know, we're just at the halfway point, or just past the halfway point, so we're starting to look at teams from the Big 12 and Conference USA to see who might be in the mix, and it's still wide open. There's too many teams in there to figure it out, but watching a lot of games, starting to plan some selection committee trips and build relationships with the teams that could be in the mix, and trying to finalize everything for the game as far, you know, from events during bowl week to concessions to everything that you can think of. So it's a lot of fun this time of year. It's also a lot of work, but it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. What is being done to make the Independence Bowl an economic spark plug for Northwest Louisiana again? Obviously, there's been declining attendance. And I guess the obvious question is, more folks need to come to the Independence Bowl. But what is being done? Because I know that is obviously something you all have been looking at for a number of years and working very hard to turn around.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too, because if you look across the board for the majority of the bowl games, attendance has been the point that everybody's trying to focus on. We learned at our bowl season meetings, the annual organizational meetings in April, that local support here, percentage-wise, is pretty good, but we always need more. In a small market like us, we need more. So it's just like with anything, you know, embrace it in your community. It's part of quality of life. It's something that a lot of communities mm-hmm. across the country don't have. We had an economic impact from the 2023 game of $30 million. And that was done by an independent group out of South Louisiana that did that study for the state. So it's a huge economic impact. And that was just based on the game. That's not based on all of the events that we do through the year, you know, the staff that you have, and the trickle down from that. So it's big, and it's big for our community, and it's something that's important. And it's 3.5 hours live on ESPN for us to showcase our community. And, you know, we have multiple people that we partner with to go out during bowl week and get what we call B-roll so that they can show the community on ESPN during the broadcast. So
love seeing those.
Yeah, the billboards leading in. You know, you want to see Municipal. You want to see Barksdale. You want to see, you know, teams having fun in the East Bank and having fun in Shreveport at the Convention Center for the big game show. You want to see those things highlight your community. And that ESPN broadcast gives us an opportunity that's priceless. And so we work really hard to feed them as much as we can, but also to set it up for the fans that are thinking about coming into the game and the local people. We concession wise this year, ASM Global is going to be doing the traditional concessions that you expect at a football game, but we also have Sonic, PJ's, Pizza Hut, Louisiana Smokehouse, Lila's Bakery, and hopefully a couple more that are going to be in the concession stands.
Nice.
So give them traditional food they like, but give them a little bit of Louisiana too, because that's what people expect. And so, you know, when you go to a football game and you can get a piece of king cake, you know, that's pretty cool.
and it's more than just a football game, Missy Setters, with the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. You've got at least a full week, a slate full of activities lined up.
We do. We do. We start with when the teams come in on Friday the 26th this year, we'll have the big game show and welcome party for them. We have Fork and Pork comes in and does this huge spread with whole hog, bacon-wrapped alligator, shrimp from Louisiana seafood, boiled shrimp, jambalaya, all the fixings. We work with local schools to do some of the sides, and we'll have this big, huge spread that would rival something you see on Food Network, and they come in and they see that, and it's like, okay, we're going to get some great food. And then we have our big game show, and we have our FCA breakfast, which is open to the public on the 27th. And then we'll do some community service stuff with the teams. They'll go out to Barksdale and tour out there. They'll go to Holy Angels. We'll have Ladies' Day out for the spouses, and some of the administrators would do Kids' Day out. We take them all over town. We take them to Cyport, Bellinonas. They have lunch here. Take the kids to Holiday Lanes. I think we're taking them to Surge this year in Sports Cards, Louisiana. So we want to show them the community. We want to show them the great things we have going on here. And we want them to go back and say, you know what, the hospitality there was better than anything I've ever seen. And we hear that over and over.
And we do really hear that a lot. Yes.
And then.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we also have Rally on the Red in the East Bank District. That's our mini Mardi Gras parade, our Battle of the Bands, fireworks show,
yes,
and concert. And then game day, we have Fan Fest. All of that is free and open to the public, too. So, like I said, quality of life, all those things matter. And they matter from an economic impact standpoint. They matter from, you know, if you look at the last few weeks, the Revel, Prize Fest, all the things we have going on, the State Fair coming up. I don't know how you can say that you're bored. I really don't.
No, absolutely. So much there. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that list just goes on and on and on. Obviously, you all put so much work into this. You know I may be focused on the wrong thing here as far as, you know, in terms of attendance, but I want to see every single seat in Independence Stadium completely filled. For game day, I want those cameras to pan across Independence Stadium and it just be packed to the gills. Now, my question to you, and I know that you study this, you've been doing this a very long time. You've been looking at other bowl games that are also very successful.
What are their communities doing differently? Because you put all the effort in, you put all the planning, you and your board, you all are doing all of those great things. But what can we as a community, what do you wish the community would do differently that you have seen successful in other communities to pack out their stadiums for their bowl games?
Well, and you look at obviously you look at market size, but when you're in a small market, you have to work that much harder. What I would say is we're basically having a 4-day festival. This is not just a football game. And the football game matters, but it's a 4-day festival. Get invested in that and those things, and then hopefully you're going to want to go see a quality football game. And, you know, we've had some great matchups in this game. We've hosted some of the top programs in college football. We had Texas Tech 2 years ago, and you look at where they're ranked right now. Now, they did just have a loss, but you look at the program they've put together, and I will say they are a blueprint right now for how to use NIL to build a program, too. So I think you guys talk about it a lot. If you're positive about your community and you're looking for the positive things, then I think you're a more joyful, happy person, and you enjoy the things in your community. And so we're trying to put together events and a bowl game that people can have fun and then enjoy themselves, bring out family, bring out friends. And you know, we work together with the state fair. We work together with the Revel on different things. And it's important for us to be a good community partner. And so we just ask people, give it a shot, come out. You're going to be sitting in brand new chairbacks. If you have chairback tickets, you're going to be sitting in brand new chairbacks this year, too. And those are all being replaced in the stadium. So come out and check out the cool chairs, you know, any little thing in the world. But we want people to get invested in it. We're an organization that's membership driven. And those members are the majority of our volunteers for a lot of our events. Come get involved. Or if you just want, you know, to come enjoy the football game and enjoy the food we have at the concession stands, please do that. But get invested in the community and help support the things that are here. You never want to lose anything. And in hindsight, it's always 2020, as we say. So come out and enjoy it. We try to make it fun. There's a lot going on during the game. And it's a lot of fun for people, so give it a try.
It's so easy to be negative, but we've got so much to be positive about. And this is one of them, the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, December 30th this year. Missy, we are very excited. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate y'all. Thank you for the time.
And we'll talk to you again as we get closer and we get a more of a bead on what teams will be lined up. We'll be back in touch.
Thank y'all so much, and y'all have a great day.
All right, Missy, thank you. You too. Louis Avalone in for Aaron, Mike, and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
710 Keel. It is fun to be in the stadium during the Independence Bowl. We had one year, a bunch of kids when I lived in North Bossier. We had 4 acres. And so we had our youth group over. It may have been New Year's Eve. And it was the year, because we were going to have a big bonfire out on the property and bunch of the kids, give them someplace safe to go on New Year's Eve. And we had a lot of food and had the Independence Bowl game on. And that was the year that it snowed so heavily. And I remember calling my mom. I said, turn on, she lived in California at the time. I said, turn on ESPN right now and look at the bowl game. And the field was just covered in ice and snow. They were trying to mark off the yard line so they could see where they were. And she goes, oh my, look at that. That looks freeze. I said, yeah, that's here. She couldn't believe it. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Well, you know, my aunt and uncle were huge Independence Bowl contributors.
Supporters. Yes.
And so they would take myself and all my cousins, and there was an annual pilgrimage to the Independence Bowl, whether it was sleeting or raining, mm-hmm. or hot or cold, it didn't matter. We were going to be there. And I just, you know, we were talking with Missy Setters earlier. I want to see every seat covered.
Yeah, I do too.
I want to see as many you-know-whats in the seats.
Butts in the seats, baby.
And look, I get it. You know, times have changed. And maybe to some degree, folks might not attribute as much importance to getting those folks in those seats. You know, I agree with it's a four-day festival. I get that. But when those cameras pan, across, I just want the entire nation to see that stadium packed to the gills. Because
there are some bowl games you watch, and some of the smaller ones particularly, it looks like there's 200-300 people in the crowd.
And I know there's lots of folks working very hard to achieve that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just expressing what is obvious.
What we would love to see.
Yes.
Right. Lewis in for Aaron. Cedric Glover, Downtown Development Authority Director, going to join us after the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO. Mike and McCarty, Lewis Avalone, in for Aaron. Cedric Glover, Downtown Development Authority Director. There, see, Ruben, I got it right that time. Thank you very much. No more of your gummies for me. Cedric Glover in studio, and there's a lot of updates that I want to get from you. We want to talk about. But when I told Aaron, I said, yeah, Cedric's coming in, looking forward to talking with him, and she said, you've got to get him to tell his football story.
Which one is that?
Oh, no. Oh, no. She goes, he'll know what you're talking about.
I have no idea which one. There's more than a few, but I'm more interested in knowing the Mike Gummy story. That's way more interesting than anything I ever did in football.
I'm with you there. Yeah. My eyebrow went up as well.
That's for off the air. No, Ruben's threatened to let me have some of his gummies.
Oh, what?
And I've never had one, so.
Well, Ruben, please let us all know. I want to come and sit that one in. Played football since I was a young kid. Tried to play all the way up to Sundays and just managed to never not ever get that far. So it's one of the great realities of life that you end up understanding just that there's some people who are much, much better at certain things than you are. And that's what my football journey taught me.
Well, darn, I'm going to have to get with her then. So, because there was something specific, obviously, that she was referencing.
I probably have told a few stories over the years.
Right, yes.
But, those great memories of Lanier Junior High, the Southfield Eagles, the Green Oaks Giants, I'm sure that's somewhere that will go back and be a good reason to bring me back.
All right, well, let's get to the business at hand then. The first thing I wanted to talk about was the Red River District. And anything new going on there?
Well, you know, specifically the Red River District is owned by the city of Shreveport.
Right.
And there have been some conversations about the DDA having a larger role with regard to management and programming. We're doing some things in terms of trying to help support the level of activity and entertainment that's there. But the day-to-day management of it is still under the city. We're still interested in having those conversations. It was one of the reasons as to why, in another life, in another capacity as mayor, I was adamant about getting it under city control, because we need the ability to be able to try and program that with not necessarily the profit motive of the owner being the driving factor in terms of how you bring tenants into that space. And so we managed to accomplish that. But I think it's still looking for the right mix of things to help make it work.
Is 50 cents still a possibility?
I think there's some interest. I think those things have yet to be worked out. You know, one of the things I think people have to stop and do is go back and look at the history of the Red River District. If you remember when John Elkington brought his vision to town under the Bo Williams administration, he was looking to try and build upon authentic history within this area. The areas that he was initially looking were along Texas Avenue, along Commerce Street, mm-hmm. because there's actual history there in similar fashion to what he's done up in Bill Street. What he ultimately ended up doing in terms of developing that $26 million development under the Texas Street Bridge was to build something that was completely artificial, had no actual history in terms of actually having been an area where there had been entertainment, history, music, culture, and what have you. And unfortunately, put it directly across the street from an establishment that gives away food, liquor, and music
right.
in an effort to draw you in to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to run a business directly across the street from somebody who's as large as a casino that's giving away all the things you're trying to make money on is something that is a challenging proposition that I don't think we, the people of Shreveport, fully understood 30 years ago when that was coming forward.
But it seems like you just look at that area, there's so much potential. And I would really, we need to get tenants in there. Is it a cost prohibitive rent issue?
When you look at how the original vision itself folded out or rolled out, it was certainly cost prohibitive. I mean, it was a $26+ million development that had to paper or pencil out on paper. And so the initial lease terms that those restaurants that most of us had never heard of, MacArthur's and Chit's and whatever, all of those were paying astronomical lease payments
right.
in order to be able to make that pencil out on paper. All of those quickly failed, and all of the subsequent efforts that came after that under the separate management didn't work out. And so that was why 2011 or so in that time frame, we went about the deliberate effort of negotiating with the Hollywood Casino folks to bring that fully. The city already owned the land. Let us bring in these structures, take away the profit motive, interpret our bottom line as a quality of life perspective, and see if we can't do a better job.
It's interesting you bring up the historical perspective of like Commerce Street and Texas Street, because I remember Ernest Orleans used to be down on the riverfront, correct. Down on Commerce Street.
Correct. Like I said, Commerce Street and the 800 block of Texas Avenue were two of the initial places that John Elkington looked at to try and stand up this development, trying to build off of the actual history of either Commerce Street or, quote unquote, the Avenue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm going to bring up the elephant in the room here with regards to downtown, with regards to the Red River District. I don't think the majority of Shreveporters feel safe coming downtown, going to the Red River District, and people are not going to bring their families to some place where they don't feel safe. And whether it's a downtown development authority issue or a city of Shreveport issue, it doesn't seem like anyone, either of those entities, are addressing that concern. And however you do that, I mean, there's a number of ways you can address that. But what is being done? Because if people don't feel safe, they're not going to come down there and enjoy the restaurants or the live entertainment, et cetera.
Well, you also have to understand that perpetuating that perception unfortunately serves the interests of some folks who are trying to direct business activity to their particular areas and communities. And so the idea that you perpetuate the idea that downtown is not safe is one that ultimately ends up helping to support and facilitate the growth of some areas to the demise of downtown Shreveport. If you drill it down to the reality from a statistical standpoint, downtown Shreveport is actually one of, if not the safest place in Shreveport, Bossier, Northwest Louisiana. However, if you don't have that perception, then you won't end up with the activity, the foot traffic that's needed. And so the only way in which you manage to change a negative perception is with a positive, persistent reality. And with that perspective, that's why we have adopted in this position as leader of the Downtown Development Authority, is that we need to treat downtown the same way that we do any other neighborhood within this area. If there are activities that would be objectionable within your neighborhood, Broadmoor, South Highlands, Cooper Road, Queensboro, then those same things should be viewed as being unacceptable and objectionable in downtown. That's why what we have specifically done, Lewis, is gotten outside of the various silos that everybody has, from the DDA to DSU to the police department to Hope Connections to CADA with their mobile crisis center, and all of the various entities that affect and impact. And we are now all sitting around the table and working collaboratively together to be able to proactively address the issues, problems, and concerns that create that negative perception.
Because it's the imagery that is on social media that a lot, it's those images. Like you said, I think that is a beautiful perspective and very innovative in terms of, I don't know that other folks have addressed it in quite the same way in terms of treating downtown as a neighborhood. And if there are activities in your neighborhood that are objectionable, that you stand up and say, we're not going to allow this. But until those images on social media in particular change, I don't know that the perception of downtown, I agree with you, that statistically, probably the one of the safest areas in Shreveport. But until those images change, I don't know the perception changes.
Well, now, unfortunately, you've just given an impossible burden and hurdle for any effort to get over because of the democracy that's available on your phone today. You can't stop any individual from being able to go and post any negative, wild video, picture, image, or whatever, attach it to the city of Shreveport. Very similar fashion as you saw with the young men who came here from England a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Who had no actual authentic history experience, just basically lied about what they encountered here, and they ended up doing something that didn't affect downtown. They did something that affected the entirety of this region.
Right.
By also characterizing it as being something that offered relief from Lake Charles, because they couldn't find anything better, not just in Shreveport. They couldn't find it better in Bossier. They couldn't find it better in Stonewall. They couldn't find it better in Houghton. It was somebody from all the way in Lake Charles that saved them from having to suffer a night in Shreveport.
That was such BS. That was, right. And that was all.
But that's the power of social media.
But then we have determined since that was paid and set up from the very beginning. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Cedric Glover in studio. Can you hold with us?
Oh, I'm here as long as you'll have me.
In studio with updates on downtown Shreveport. Micah McCarty, Louis Avalone, and for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We should have been rolling during the break. There's a lot of good information just during the break. We've got to change perceptions. We had earlier this week Daniel Erspommer on, and we were talking about the state of Louisiana and just the perception overall of the state of Louisiana. And we've been so used to being 50th in education and out-migration of the state and economic outlook. But those are changing. Those metrics are changing. We're no longer 50th. But our biggest problem is ourselves.
Well,
how we view ourselves and looking at, well, downtown ain't nothing to do, or downtown's not safe. And none of those are true.
Well, I think we're making blips on those levels right now. I'm not sure if the fundamentals have changed.
Well, I'm not saying we're Texas or Florida, but we are making progress.
But kind of like football, you got to get back to your fundamentals. How's your technique? How's your footwork? Well, how's your leverage? And, one of the challenges that we have as Louisiana are our fundamentals. I mean, a century ago, we were one of the leading states in the South, if not the country. In the intervening century, we've not done so well. When you think about the things that this state has been blessed with, having New Orleans as the great city of this state, one of the great cities of the world, to have it positioned there at the confluence of the Gulf of Mexico and the Mississippi River, and all the history and the culture that goes with that, and have had all of those advantages at that point, and to know that the intervening century that we've ended up with, everybody from Arkansas to Mississippi to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida pass us, is something that should cause us to pause and reexamine the things that we have fundamentally done over the last century as a state that has brought us to this point.
So what can, as Downtown Development Authority director, like Lewis was just saying, people, if they don't feel safe, they're not going to support. And I love the fact that there are positive changes going on. I love that there's more residential developments happening in downtown. There's more restaurants opening up, the Glass Hat. There's along Texas Avenue. There are more things happening. What can you do as director to get that message out better?
Well, I mean, I think it's the things that you do that gives you what you have the base of the message from that matters, because downtowns evolve or they go extinct. They started off as the core starting point of a city or of a region. They evolved to becoming the center of business and commerce and culture. And then as the region grows, they get stretched. because there's that sprawl inclination to go out and find the new, the different, the better, and get away from that dangerous thing that you see downtown. So that's nothing that's new in terms of the challenges of downtown. That's always been something that mothers have been afraid of once they've gotten their children away from where all of those busy, happening establishments are and what have you, to the perception of the safer suburbs, that we don't want you to go there. So that's nothing that's new. So you have to continue to figure out how you grow, elevate, and evolve your downtown. What does that entail? Figuring out what is it that you do with this business, these business towers that you have, that at one point for a place like Shreveport hoped to serve the oil and gas industry. Well, we lost those jobs to Houston and to Dallas. And so now we're figuring out how to repurpose those. But now we have a new generation of those buildings that aren't a century and a half old. Some of them are less, you know, than 50 or 60 years old. And some of those buildings, because of the changes from the pandemic, changes in the banking industry and what have you, are also facing a challenge in terms of being able to bring folks back into downtown. And obviously the ability now with these devices that we carry with us that allow us to be able to work anywhere. Mm-hmm. The traditional idea of coming in, getting into the elevator and going up to the 15th floor is something that's changing as well. And so you now have to figure out how is it that you bring new life and new viability to things that right now can't continue to function in their original purpose.
You can hang with us.
Absolutely.
Because there's more I want to ask you about. I'm fascinated by this topic, including some of that vitality being returned to Shreveport through investment from Curtis Jackson. And we'll get the latest on that. Cedric Glover, former mayor of Shreveport, Downtown Development Authority Director. Louis Avalone in for Aaron. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Former Mayor Cedric Glover, Downtown Development Authority Director in studio. Louis Avalone in for Aaron. We're going to take a quick break and delve more into this downtown development coming up. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Perception is reality, unfortunately, in some cases. But perception is changing. Louis, you just said there's a billboard where? In
Dubai.
Dubai.
Apparently, that 50 Cent occasionally, I guess, will purchase. And it says, all roads lead to Shreveport.
So tell us, we know he's bought a lot of property. You made an interesting point during the break. People are asking about Millennium Studios. Mm-hmm. He signed a lease. It's been a couple of years now, but no productions have started. But you said they broke ground on Millennium Studios in 2008.
Yeah, we broke ground on Millennium Studios when I was mayor in 2008. Mm-hmm. I had to do so in order to be able to qualify for what was then the 40% tax the film infrastructure program that existed then. But the actual project itself didn't have the ribbon cut on it until November of 2011. And so I made that point to say that the level of impatience that people have with regard to what's happening here in this situation doesn't line up with the level of patience that was shown both for StageWorks as well as for Millennium. And that one of the things that's only recently been known based on some of the commentary that's come from the city is that part of the challenge with trying to do production at Millennium right now is that it presently apparently floods. And that may or may not be connected to the recent construction around it.
And we know he also had to deal with the legislation on tax credits.
Correct.
That was going through the legislature for months and months and months.
Well, and as I shared with members of the delegation and with the community in general, for the state to come in and basically take away the very reason as to why he sought to come here in the first place, right, is something that I just simply didn't understand. And if I had been advising him, I would have told him, you know, put up your checkbook until you have a clear indication of what it is that this state intends to do.
Right.
Ironically, a month after that special session, he spent over $1 million buying 510 Commerce Street, a building that was constructed in 2003. 22,000 square feet, and with the exception of 4,000 square feet that Lee Hall uses for their real estate offices, that spec building has been empty and unused, even has a dirt floor. And so to come in and pay that kind of a price for that type of a property that has that little level of use is something that, you know, is indicative of someone who obviously sees some potential here that many other people don't.
Now, have you talked with 50 Cent? Have you?
Certainly.
Just kind of off the record, you're just you and him, and you're chatting. What does he see in our community? Because, look, and look, I know the negative perception, especially among those who live here, is just overwhelming. And I think it's ridiculous. What does he see here? Because I think that could help with some folks who may not see the vision that he does. What does he share with you privately?
For you and anyone else that wants to understand what's in play here, and it goes all the way back to February of 23 when I saw on the news broadcast that he was here. Remember the question that Orville Hall says that he asked of him, and that is, Orville, does Louisiana still have those film tax credits? To which Orville said yes, and he said, then I'm interested. That's what resulted in that initial vision. So if you want to understand what the potential is here, I would challenge you to Google Tyler Perry and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that will bring up for you Tyler Perry Studios and what it is that he did there, not with a former film studio, but a former military base that has transformed the creative
economy
of the city of Atlanta. Now, here's what we should also find as a challenge for those of us who are Louisianians. Tyler Perry is a native of Louisiana, who obviously is a brand within entertainment, the same as Curtis Jackson. But rather than come back to his native state and set up his vision and advance it, he understood this is a place that has problems. I don't trust them in Louisiana. I'm going to Georgia. We showed that as a result of what former Governor Jindal did with the film tax credits back in 2015. And so someone who has a similar level, profile, brand, history as Tyler Perry has come to a place like Shreveport, looked at that $14 million at the time state-of-the-art film infrastructure that we put in down in Leadbetter Heights, looked at StageWorks and says, I see the potential there to do in Shreveport what's happening in Atlanta. And so that is what is in the process of potentially unfolding. It's not certain that it will happen, but it represents a tremendous opportunity because we're dealing with an iconic brand that has established himself as a success. I think the top four shows on the Starz network are all his. You're talking about someone who has a combined $100+ million social media follower across multiple platforms who wants to come here and produce content that makes use of folks like Mike, who likes to do other people as an actor. And so...
I'm ready.
Those folks who can go and take that moment and get into character and become a part of that tapestry of a film, of a television show, or whatever that content may be, are things that creates job, that creates value, that creates quality of life, and can help to grow and diversify this economy.
There is a lot of talent in this area. Look at Film Prize, mm-hmm. that Gregory Kallenberg has grown into such a massive success.
And the intent with all of those is for it not to become episodic, but for it to become an ongoing part of the cultural economy that we want to try and bring here. That was one of the things all the way back to 2006 when I was running for mayor the first time, was the recognition in reading Richard Florida's The Creative Class, is that the arts are not just simply about going to the opera and the symphony and the movies or what have you. It's about creating jobs and building wealth and helping to grow your community into the kind of place that provides a greater, broader range of economic opportunities for people to make a living.
That's one of the advantages that New Orleans and even Baton Rouge has over us today, as at the moment, is that infrastructure. The crews, the carpenters, the set constructors, the electricians, those, they have those there. We need to build that here.
Mm-hmm. And that's what having someone who can bring in
exactly
a potential consistent source of new production, because when you have the jobs, when you have those openings, when you have those opportunities, that film crew infrastructure will follow.
And so you mentioned Tyler Perry, that he went to Georgia, left Louisiana. Something's changed here in Louisiana, though, in order for 50 Cent to consider making such a sizable investment. What has changed here that you think has made that possible?
I think we sent all of the wrong signals.
But we're not now, apparently.
No, we still are. We were not nearly as impatient with David Meyer. We were not nearly as impatient with Avi Lerner and his team from Millennial. None of those individuals came up and spent millions of dollars up front as a proof of concept with things like Human Harmony. And so, you know, whether or not this happens, in my estimation, is still something yet to be determined. But it still is working, still moving. You had a series of projects that were before the Historic Preservation Commission on yesterday for certificates of appropriateness. I think that went ultimately relatively well. And so things are progressing. But, yeah, as long as we continue the level of skepticism that we have about this, then I think the potential for it to collapse and fail is certainly within the realm of possibility. But that would be typical, unfortunately, for us as Shreveporters and as Louisianians.
But I want to get out of that thinking.
Absolutely. We're trying to drag us out of it, but we're so committed to it, unfortunately.
Real quickly, I want to ask about the state building progress.
Absolutely. Wonderful progress.
Yes.
Had a great meeting last night. We gathered. We extended the day with the DDA on the 16th floor of the Petroleum Tower. Wanted to have a chance to do that before daylight savings time ended because I wanted people to have a chance to see from that perspective the level of progress that's being made. Had a chance to bring in Robert Mills, former senator, who was absolutely critical in helping to make that happen. Had to acknowledge the work of our legislative delegation, in particular Representative Stephen Jackson, who represents downtown.
Mm-hmm.
As I left office, that project budget stood at $75 million. There was an effort to try and value engineer it, as they put it, which basically means cut the budget because of increasing costs. We felt that it was important that building line up with the vision that Shreveport native Christopher Coe, the architect,
mm-hmm.
Laid out for it. And so we had to go and convince the Office Facilities Corporation to facilitate an additional $35 million. So that budget went from 75 now to 110. And with Stephen and the delegation's help, as well as the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, and the members of the Office of Facilities Corporation, we were able to get that done. And so the project is fully funded. Told people to expect a great deal of activity. And that's what accounted for the lag between the demolition and the mm-hmm, abatement mm-hmm. Of the original structure
Jody Wagner
down
building.
To the foundation,
right.
to the frame, and then making sure that either we're going to value engineer it, which means it's going to go back and being the ugly building that it was, or we're going to maintain this great vision that Christopher Coe has laid out and actually be able to give that
and
gift.
If you've seen those artist renderings, that architectural,
absolutely.
Beautiful,
absolutely
exciting.
Beautiful.
How many jobs?
So.
This is going to bring hundreds of jobs to downtown.
We're expecting at least 500.
That's incredible.
And the other side of that is that the countdown has also started to when the current Mary Allen State Building is going to be empty. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we also did in attempt to put ourselves in a better position was to facilitate a process by which the public's interest can be safeguarded as we look to repurpose that building, because that is a building and a property that has great value, great potential. The conversion to a live, work,
yes.
and play space would
yes.
be tremendous. You have windows that wrap all sides of that. And you have no weight-bearing walls.
In a beautiful area.
You have a beautiful lawn. It's the site of Peter Urey's Eureka. He built three mansions on that lot.
Oh,
the
wow.
original fencing, that wrought iron,
yes.
marble stone fencing, dates back to the 19th century. And you're talking about close to 10 acres worth of beautiful land. And so, yes, the idea is that you can end up converting that into live, work, and play space and literally have hundreds of people living That's, within that area, which is going to be a boon to Bears Bar, is going to be a boon to whomever reopens the Cotton Bowl. It'll be a boon
yes.
to the Commercial National Bank building development that appears to be moving forward and will certainly also create the impetus to bring in even more retail activity to that quarter.
See, this is what I'm talking about. There's a lot of good things happening,
Absolutely.
Baby.
Absolutely.
Cedric, thank you so much.
Thank you all for giving me the opportunity and the platform, and I'm always available to come in and join you guys. Always great to see my good friend Lewis and you as well. And Ruben's always a delight.
Jeff Luce says to tell you hi.
Tell my friend I said hello. Miss him dearly.
He's going to hate that he missed you in here.
Looking forward to getting the chance to see him again. One of the best people I have ever had the privilege of knowing. Met him in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. As a youngster.
We were youngsters. A close-up trip.
Cedric Glover, former mayor of Shreveport, Downtown Development Authority Director. Thank you again. Louis Avalone in for Aaron. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
See, if I can do nothing else in this position, I want to promote the positive aspects of what's going on in our area. It's easy to sit back and be a cave person, a citizen against virtually everything. But there's a lot of good things happening, not just in downtown, but in our entire area, that if we... We can very easily change our perception, and others view us as we view ourselves, is the image that we put forth. And if it's all Ratchet City and negativity, that's how others are going to see us. And that's not how we need to promote ourselves. So I love all this positive, and I thank Cedric for coming out and sharing that hour with us.
No, and you're absolutely right. And I've written about this actually for many, many years, because the most important conversation that we will have with ourselves, the most important conversation we'll have any day of the week is with ourselves, right? And it's that inner critic. It's that, you know, where you say, you know, well, I'm not smart enough, or I'm too old, or I've failed too many times. That's the conversation as a community that many of us will have as well. You could either say there's nothing to do here and crime is so bad and this, that, and the other. It doesn't have to be that way.
Not at all. Louis, thank you.
My pleasure.
What a pleasure.
Absolutely.
What a pleasure. And we'll see you back in the morning. I thank you again. Good news with Aaron. Positive reports. Hopefully she'll be back toward the end of next week. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.